Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Oh, am I supposed to intro this? Am I supposed to intro this?
I don't think so. I bet that would be a good opening clip, you asking if you need to intro it.
Welcome to Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm your host, JP. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action sports, and subculture. On today's show, we'll be listening to new tracks from The Hung Ups and Scenic Byway, getting to know Uber staffer Ricky Vigil, and finding out about a local record label run by teenagers. Also, we'll do the daily calendar rundown and find out about Chicago's Loyal Divide. Loyal Divide is a psychopop band based out of Chicago, Illinois. Originally formed in Columbus, Ohio, they've recently focused more on an experimental sound. Tom Bennett interviews Adam Johnson, the vocalist, guitarist, keyboardist, and sampler of Loyal Divide.
How did Loyal Divide begin?
We were a cover band in college.
Really?
Yeah, we were a cover band. And then that's where we met. We had some original stuff, but it wasn't really a focus. And then we moved to Columbus, Ohio after college, and we were there for a couple years, and then we moved to Chicago, so...
Okay, what were you guys covering?
Some hilarious shit. It was a bunch of indie rock stuff, but we played some Talking Heads songs, but we'd also cover Arcade Fire songs or Pixies songs. It was mostly indie rock type stuff.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I was not going to be surprised if you said something pretty weird, because obviously most people who are going to hear this interview, I imagine, probably have not heard your band. You've released stuff before. Four, but this is the first full length, right?
Yes.
So the full length is called Bodice Ripper, and for those who listen to this podcast, it's a pretty unique album. It does all the songs that go together, but in a strange way, because there's a lot of influences. For you, you said you sing and play guitar, right?
Yes.
So for you individually, what kind of influences do you feel are part of what you guys do as Loyal Divide?
I think that there are a couple albums that we all listen to that we all kind of liked. Over the past couple of years, we really got into the Blade Runner soundtrack and Purple Rain by Prince. That and Clips, the Neptunes production. I think there's some Nine Inch Nails sound in it. Apart from that, I couldn't really tell you.
Yeah. Well, influences are funny because they don't necessarily mean you sound like the things you're influenced by. You know what I mean?
Right.
When I listened to the album the first time, the first thing that stood out to me was it sounded like there was a pretty heavy, almost traditional, Indian raga type influence, but not the way that it influenced reggae and forms of music like that, but very, very traditional. Kind of sounded like it was in the future or something. I don't know if that makes any sense.
That's mostly just, I spent a lot of time in the early stages lifting stuff off of YouTube. So I would just search for one thing, click on it, and then through the suggestions they make from that video, I'm suddenly in a completely different place, and suddenly I have this variety show from Saudi Arabia in the 1970s.
Okay.
And there's a band, and I take the sample from YouTube and slow it down and distort it, and that's the foundation of the song. So
that's cool.
It's not like we've listened to a lot of Indian music or a lot of world music. It's just kind of the luck of stumbling upon certain samples.
Unlock your soul.
you're talking about how, you know, you create all these things out of samples, Pro Tools, all that. I was curious, how does a live show work for you guys? Like, being that you do use samples, but you do use live instruments, you do use live vocals, how do you do that with your band?
Well, they sound considerably different, the song recorded and the song live. So we actually rebuild the song for the live version. Just because we started as a band, and I don't like going to see groups who play, pretty much don't really like play their instruments in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I like the feel of a live drummer.
Yeah.
And I like the feel of not having a click track. So in every case that we possibly can, I mean, we make guitar, you know, rock band versions of the DJ tracks that we make at home, you know.
Okay. Do you guys have are there any videos online of any live performances?
Yeah, but I couldn't tell you where to find them.
Yeah. So, like, maybe if someone searched on YouTube, they might be able to find something.
Yeah, there's some videos on YouTube, I think, from way back when, from recently. So
I talked to Sid before about, you know, possibility of you guys touring, and he said, well, I don't know, like, we'd like to, but, you know, it's difficult sometimes.
Yeah, it just depends upon, I mean, we need to make more money before we go out west.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, just considering people need to leave their jobs and,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
Normal band difficulty touring. Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, normal touring band difficulties.
Is this the first label you guys have worked with, or have you done other stuff with labels before?
No, we have never. This is the first label we've signed with.
That's cool. What do you, like, I hear a lot of mixed things about, you know, labels, and you can go, like, solo or, you know, whatever you want to do, but what, like, what looks like a, how is it going to benefit you guys being on a label from your perspective?
Well, that's a good question, man. I mean, so far it's been nice because they take care. You know, before we had to do all of our own, like, we had to book everything.
Yeah, which sucks.
Do publicity, which sucks. And then, I mean, we had to do everything. So.
Yeah.
They've taken care of, like, they redid the website, and they're taking care of everything. They got the record, they're, like, the record's getting pressed now, and they took care of all of that. Like, they have a distribution deal that they just got, so. I mean, apart from that, they're really well connected in Chicago, which is invaluable for us, so, you know, it's a business partnership, so they ask for quite a bit, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it's nice to finally have somebody on our side, you know?
Yeah.
Which we haven't had, and, you know, it's been difficult, so.
Yeah, booking and all the business aspects are really shitty
when
you're trying to make the music and get your rehearsal, you know, everything down perfect. That's cool, though.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that. You said it was Kilo Records, like K-I-L-O?
Yes.
Cool, yeah. People should definitely check that out online. Are there other bands, either in your town or in the town that the rest of the band members live in, that you would say are pretty awesome that we should be checking out? Anything off the top of your head that you...
Yeah, I like New City Gypsy. They're from, they're Columbus band.
New City Gypsy?
Yeah. I don't know if you can get their... They put out a record. I don't know if you can buy one online or something, but they're pretty sweet.
Cool. So, I'll check them out.
Yeah.
Loyal Divide will be releasing their first full-length album, Bodice Ripper, on October 4th through Kilo Records. Check out more information at loyaldividemusic.com.
And I'm so glad you told me before she got stupid. But now I'm so alive.
Local snotty pop punk band The Hung Ups are known for their interesting stage approach, as we saw at a recent Slug Localize, featuring Josh, Chuck, Tyler, and Chris. This song is off their third and newest album, Dawn of the Deadbeats, released July 15th on Balls Out Records.
The birth year of politics, they're everywhere, they're here right now, they're in your shitty music. This shit here is so deep, it's pouring in the street. It's all that I can smell, it makes it hard to sleep. And you know it's true, your words are nothing new. We've heard them all before, there's lots of folks like you.
Find the whole album at thehungups.com, and they'll be playing at Bar Deluxe September 15th with Be My Doppelganger, Problem Daughter, and The Toros.
Lover, I'm cheap and worn.
Local musician Jeremy Chatelain has been in the music business for quite some time, most noticeably in the nationally renowned band Cub Country. He's also the musical arts instructor and mentor for a local label called Spyhop Records and its sister program, Musicology. Spyhop Records is a local record label that is part of the Spyhop Productions organization, a nonprofit media arts and education center for youth in downtown Salt Lake City. Here is Mary Enge interviewing Jeremy Chatelain about the label, the history, and the kids involved with Spyhop.
All my pretense showing.
So how did the idea for both Spyhop Records and Musicology kind of come about?
I think that Rick, the executive director, and Matt, the programs director, came up with the concepts years before I was here, probably 5 years ago. And, you know, hey, why don't we do a record label? And I think here and there they put out a CD of some student that they thought was great and talented and you know, had their act together enough to actually record an album. But the idea of, like, an organized record label never came to fruition. And I was working construction. And I've known Matt, the programs director here, forever. And he was always talking about his job. And I was like, I don't understand your job at all. all. What is this? What is Spy Hop? It's really confusing. And he talked to me about it, and he's like, I have an idea, but I can't talk to you about it right now. And I was like, okay. Because, you know, I've played in bands for forever, since I was 14, for 20-something years. So. And then at some point he said, we're thinking about launching a record label and doing a band class that's like School of Rock, but cooler, for kids who are like over School of Rock. Yeah. And want to do something. And I was like, huh. And he's like, well, I'm going to let you know how this idea progresses. But over the 6 months' time, they kind of asked me to come in and interview, and they opened up a position, and they had people interview for it, and I got the job. And then after I got the job, we had to have many meetings about what the class was going to look like. Yeah, and it's still, I think with anything at Spy Hop, it's always evolving, depending on who I get in the class that year and what they want to do. You know, because we kind of let the kids here come up with their own ideas, and then we facilitate them pursuing those ideas, you know, unless the idea is horrible. But it's all, you know, that's all an opinion too. So it's all student-driven curriculum. That's what we call it here. So if a student says, here's a song I have, you know, how do I do this? And I'll say, here's how we can make this come together with your bandmates. And, you know, I can hear a little guitar here and drums come in here and xylophone here and get them going. And they figure it out on their own. But I'm always there to kind of say, good, very good. Or hold on, back up, go down this path, you know. So, yeah, it's fun because they get to, I think they are more involved because they get to come up with their own ideas and follow them. So,
like a requirement.
Yeah, it's not, I'm not saying like, here, you're going to, here, play this song, or you're going to write this song about this with these chords. You know, they'll show me songs. I'm like, great. Show it to your bandmates. Let's see if we can put it together.
That's awesome. Where does major funding for these programs come from? Is it like musicology, I guess, has like tuition?
It's got tuition, yeah, but it costs far, far more than that,
imagine,
you know, to run the program. Spy Hop is funded by grants and donations from a lot of organizations and private donors. And, you know, we have benefits throughout the year, and tuition helps offset the costs a little bit. You know, we used to get a big chunk of money from Hot Topic every year, but I think traditionally with large grants, they'll stick around for a few years and then they focus on another organization, so that kind of ran out. But luckily we've got some friends in the Salt Lake area, Spy Hop does, that donate a lot of money because they, you know, believe in what we're doing for kids. So yeah, we're a nonprofit, so it's all donations.
So I crawl in with you. You don't like me too, but I know there's room. But your pillow is wet. Your pillow.
Sure. Musicology is a 10-month program where I recruit students from high schools around Salt Lake City. We basically, you know, Spy Hop goes out and does what we call outreach. So we go into different high schools and talk about Spy Hop and try and get kids to sign up. So musicology is a 10-month program where I'm recruiting musicians. Last year I had some hip-hop kids, some kids who are in a rockabilly band. We formed the bands here. This year I decided to make it one big project. So over the course of 10 months, these kids come in here, there's 7 of them, they all play different instruments. We work on writing songs and being in a band and rehearsing, and along the way we play on Park City TV and KRCL and Utah FM, and we were playing like 2 shows at Kilby Court, and we played a show at No Brow. So it's kind of a band experience in condensed version. And you know, I think the hardest thing to do is like to buckle down, write songs, and rehearse. But it's a glorified songwriting class, I think.
Okay. So how does that differ from Spy Hop Records?
Spy Hop Records is, those kids run a record label. So they aren't necessarily musicians. Some of them are, but they do things like market and promote and design record covers and record music. They're recording engineers too, so yeah, I try and recruit like writers and people who want to figure out how to sell CDs into that class. So, but it's also a 10-month class.
Okay.
And they run side by side.
So do they overlap at all as far as like students who are in them?
Nope.
As far as
nope.
Products?
I had a few kids who were in Spy Hop Records last year who are in musicology this year. And but yes, if you're in musicology, you have a built-in contract on Spy Hop Records, so your record comes out on Spy Hop Records at the end of the year.
So how's your program different from others, like School of Rock or something that teach kids to play?
We do. Well, first of all, I don't teach music lessons. We talk about concepts like melody and a little bit more theory, key, you know, like how to write in key and lyric writing and things like this. I don't teach. I try and recruit kids who have a little bit of experience playing the instrument that they play. They don't have to be great. They just have to have the desire to want to be in a band, really. Mm-hmm. And then we concentrate on original material. We don't play any covers. We kind of talk about like why everybody likes songs and why they like music, and then, you know, try and put these kids together who don't know each other before this class and have them write songs together, which is a pretty interesting social experiment.
Yeah. So. How long have you been doing it? How long is this program?
This is my second year. I started in the beginning of, I started September 2008. Oh. And we took 2 months and designed the program and worked out a few of the bugs, although there were a lot of bugs to work out over the first year. The first year was radically different from this year. This year has been more satisfying for me because I get to, like, I've really been kind of in on the process this year with the kids. Last year the class was 6 kids and 3 bands.
Oh, wow.
This year it's 7 kids and 1 band. So they're working on the same record. So they're kind of like socially tied together, and they're all, you know, they're all paying attention to each other's parts, and it's pretty interesting. I hope that the musicology kids get a taste for being in a band and creating music with other people and playing shows. I definitely was addicted to that as a teenager, and I still do it, you know, some whatever, 25 years later. So that's what I hope they come away with. They have to answer these journal questions throughout the year, and, you know, I get to see some of their responses. And it's interesting, you know, some of them have said, oh, I would never have been able to be friends with these kinds of people outside of this program, which I think is interesting, because I'm like, you could potentially be friends with anyone you wanted to, but I think it's like also, you know, a 15 or 16 year old's esteem and the way it works. And the record label, I mean, I don't know, I want them to come away with just knowing that they can complete a project and see it through. You know, when we release these records at the end of the year, I want them to have ownership of them, you know, and I did this. And they were pretty psyched about that when we finally got it done. I was like, look, we did something, you know, and they're like, wow, can't believe it. I was like, that's cool. So it's pretty exciting to get to, like, release something physical into the world, you know, and say, like, oh, I designed this record cover, or I helped record this band, or I hope they come away with a positive experience, and maybe some of them will be focused on what they want to, you know, concentrate on in school or in college. Or I had a girl who, she goes to Cyprus, and she came into the class, and she's like, oh, I do marketing classes in school, and I was like, great. And at the end of the year, she's like, I hate marketing. And I was like, perfect. Well, at least you learn what you hate.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's been doing all the radio stuff, and she thinks that's pretty cool.
So do you feel like some of the experiences of the musicology kids mirror your experience in bands?
Oh, yeah. I walk into their room sometimes when they're practicing, and they've totally run into a wall. Half of them are laying on the floor, and the room is really hot and sweaty and gross. And I'm like, oh, it's this time in band practice where they're just like, you know, they've been talking about a part and they've been trying different things and it's not working. And so they're all just sitting there, like, looking at the ground. And I'm like, I know this feeling. Know this feeling exactly. You know, it's like what I try and avoid all the time. But I think it's totally, I don't know, I think it's totally worthwhile. I think it's a real, that's real. That's what really happens. This is what I tell them all the time. You know, I'm like, this is what band practice is like. Sometimes it sucks. But yeah, I feel like they're getting some lessons they wouldn't get elsewhere, even if in like School of Rock or anything like that.
Did you ever imagine yourself working with teenagers?
No. I thought at some point years and years ago that it might be cool to be, when I was living in New York, I used to see these ads all the time for Big Brother, Big Sister program, and I thought, oh, that'd be cool to, like, you know, take on a kid and taken to movies and stuff, but I never saw, I never saw myself, you know, standing in front of a group of kids and like, this is how I do this, you know? You should try it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it still seems slightly ill-fitting to me, but I'm working through it. I think that the creative process is pretty messy, and I think it can feel that way sometimes here too. I think with every class it's the same. You know, you have struggles with people's personalities or with their creative process, and I think it's just how it is in real life too. That's why I think this is a good life lesson. If they come away from here and they're like, that was rough, but look what I made, you know, I'm like, well, that's how it is. It's rough. You know, it's not like you just go up there and you're not going to go into some golden room and write the perfect record and be like, this is amazing. I'm so glad I did this. You know, it just doesn't work that way. I think every artists are critical of themselves. And I think it's the same way here with teenagers, you know. Mm. They can't see it yet, but they will.
Check out their website, spyhop.org/spyhoprecords, for the latest news on releases and shows. Check out the full article on this organization in our July 2010 issue on our website at slugmag.com. Time once again for our weekly daily calendar rundown. We like to meet with different Slug staff members and talk to them about upcoming events in the community they're excited about. We're sitting with editorial assistant Esther Meronio today. Did I mess up your name or do it right?
No, you did it right.
I have to keep asking because
I was here last week, remember?
Oh my god, that was you. That was you. Oh, all right. Well, what do we have coming up for the end of August and the beginning of September? What are you excited about?
Well, we have quite a few events. First is on Wednesday, August 31st. It's a punk rock show headlining Crumb Bums. Locals Desolate and Endless Struggle are opening. It's at Burt's.
The Crumb Bums.
Mm-hmm. And then the Desolate and Endless Struggle, I actually have some acquaintances and friends in there, and they put on a really good show. So I suggest going if you're into that kind of music.
And Friday, September 2nd, the word on the street is that you can pick up the brand new Slug any place. Cool.
It's true. We have a lot of really awesome features in this upcoming issue. There's one on Ty Segall, the musician, the artist James Silva. I did a feature on Thrice.
You?
Yes.
You wrote something.
I did. And then we have a feature on the new Salty Peaks movie coming out.
I didn't even know such thing existed.
Yes.
That's cool. I guess I'll have to read the issue to find out about it. And Saturday, September 3rd at the Hive Gallery, there's going to be some sort of art event involving a 24-hour time period. What's that about?
Yes. Basically, they have a whole bunch of artists that have 24 hours to create a masterpiece, and the products of that are going to be featured in a show at the Hive Gallery.
The Hive Gallery, of course, inside of Trolley Corners on the second level. They'll also have refreshments there, I imagine, as well. Wild Horse Coffee is usually inside of there, so you can get your coffee and your art fix at the same time. Speaking of art fixes, Sunday, September 4th, it's another edition of the Salty Streets Flea Market.
Yeah, that should be a really good time. It's at Kilby Court. Features a lot of really awesome local artists, and you can get some stuff for fall, I'm sure. It's a September show. And you can actually go to saltystreets.blogspot.com to find out more information about that.
They usually have bands playing inside of the Kilby Court stage area, so it's more than just art. You can also get some music, and there's a lot of socializing as well. Probably the most exciting event for me that I'm looking forward to the first week of September is the Big Movie Mouth Off 1-year anniversary with Slug film critic Jimmy Martin and Slug alum Jeff Weiss. It's going to be featuring The Professional, Luc Besson. En français. His classic, The Professional, and there's going to be Hot Fuzz, which is a British cop action movie parody. Are you going to go to that? You work at Ruby's, right?
Yeah, I work there sometimes. I cover shifts here and there. Yeah, if they're busy that day and they need me, I might be there working. Otherwise, I'll probably be there enjoying the movies.
Great, cool. And Starfucker, do you want to talk about Starfucker at all? It's kind of an inappropriate name for a band, I think. But I met the guys, they're great.
Yeah, I actually went to the show, I think the last time that they came through town, and a lot of hipster douchebags, but it was actually a lot of fun, and especially if you like to dance. So I suggest going. It's an all-ages show at Kilby Court, and I think usually they play bars. I usually see them at Urban.
Yeah, they'll be at Urban, I think, the following day.
Yeah, I think the following day. But if you are under 21, definitely go check them out. They're playing with Beat Connection and Alexico.
And, of course, Monday, September 5th, our new podcast comes out for that week, so look forward to that. Mark it down in your day planners, or I guess those don't even exist anymore, your iPhones, your
smartphones. Yes.
Do you have an iPhone?
No, but I have one of those Android smartphones.
Me too. Androids for life. Hey, thanks a lot, Esther. Anything else to add?
No, thanks for having me again.
Anytime. Scenic Byway is a local hip-hop collective who blends hip-hop beats and live guitar and rhythm sections. They recently released an album called Kinda Sorta Pretty Really in May of this year. They've opened for acts such as Slightly Stupid and Del the Funky Homo Sapien. Let's listen to a track from that album called Get Back.
Memories over and over in my mind, trying to find some sign or something to remind myself that I really wanna stay, but I don't, so I won't, so I gotta say, you stay put while I walk this way, finally free like an unlocked cage, I spread my wings and I will fly away, no more fights every night and day, so I drive it right away, wind down memory lane with my eyes up on the straight side of what lies ahead like a TV psychic late night, had some good memories but most of them are fucked ones, freer than a slave seeing Harriet Tubman.
When you gonna get that you go? Going nowhere. When you get there, then you'll know for sure. When you get that you're going nowhere. Gotta get back, gotta get back, gotta get back, gotta get back, yeah. When you get that you're going nowhere. When you get there, then you'll know for sure. When you get that you're going nowhere. Gotta get back, gotta get back, gotta get back, gotta get back, yeah.
And my signs will point to action. I take a hit or two, but it's not time for relaxing. I grab a couple beers, one for now and one for later. No, I'm not choking the chicken. I am heading to my lair where the instrumentals blare. My payment's hip and clear. Sometimes it isn't there, that's when I'm pulling out my hair. Writer's block so bad that I might as well segate the. Get the fuck out of your brain, cause I don't need you. With no ideas, it's made its very last verse a blank piece of paper. I never knew that that hurts. My talent just left town. A reality check. It's happening, step down, and pass me the west out. Put my mind at ease and allow me to vest now. I feel I could've made more, but now I feel left down. No more new fresh sounds, I feel I just check. I gotta weather the storm to survive it like Les Stroud.
When you gonna get that you're going nowhere? When you get there, then you'll know for sure. When you get that you're going nowhere? Gotta get back, gotta get back.
Then I woke up in my very own bed. I lost my mind, but I found my head. I put it on, I walked.
outside and I painted the city red. I said, this is what I said.
Scenic Byway will be playing at Powellpalooza Music Festival in Page, Arizona, September 22nd through the 25th. They are also slated for our December localize with DJ Chase 12. You can look them up on Facebook to hear music and find out more information about shows and merch. Ricky Vigil started in 2006 as an intern, and he's currently a contributing editor for Slug. He likes punk and metal music, and he also enjoys drawing comics. His recent work is quite stunning. Now here is Bethany Fisher interviewing Ricky about his involvement with the magazine.
So let me pick you apart for a moment.
Okay.
So that all the peeps listening can get a deeper, more intimate view of who you are.
Okay.
Okay. So we have to go through the boring stuff. Well, it's not boring. It's just like the standardized stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and how you came to Slug.
I came to Slug by answering a classified ad when they still had classified ads looking for interns. And I came in and they hired me and I became an intern and scanned in all the old back issues at the U. That was my intern duty.
Whoa. I didn't even know we used to have classified ads.
Yeah. Like, we haven't for a long time because, I don't know.
Too many creepos were like, hey.
Yeah.
No, it's true. Okay. And what do you like to do besides Slug Magazine?
Besides Slug, I don't know. I don't really do anything.
Oh,
I like to make comics. I like to go to shows. I like to buy records, but I never have money, so I don't get to buy a lot of records or go to a lot of shows, so I just make a comic every day and pretend like I have money.
And aren't you on a crusade to do like one comic a day for a year?
I don't know if I gave myself a timeline, but I've been doing one comic a day for about a month, and I've been doing it every single day, and I want to do it for as long as I can.
So maybe over a year?
Yeah, maybe forever.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, there's some cartoonists who do it every single day, and I figure just the more I do it, the better I'll get, the more I know how to do stuff.
And you are a collector of vinyl, I hear.
Yes, I love records.
Somebody very close to you who lives in your same apartment told me that you're a big vinyl collector. So let me ask you this, what is the worst record you've ever bought? Like, the kind of record that you were like, this shit's gonna kick ass, and then when you listened to it, you were like, wow, I just threw up in my mouth a little.
That happens, like, I don't know, I don't get super excited on stuff that's really expensive and then listen to it. I like to buy cheap shit. Just because, you know, if you buy more cheap shit, you have more stuff.
Yeah, true.
I don't know, I have, what's the most disappointing thing I bought lately? Oh, I spent $30 on one 7-inch like 2 days ago. But
and it was terrible?
I haven't heard it actually on vinyl, but the only way you could buy it is with a t-shirt. And I am a sucker, so I bought it. It's $30 out the window, but whatever, who gives a shit?
What album was that?
It's a new Hot Water Music 7-inch.
And you had to buy it with a t-shirt?
You have to, like there's no way to buy it without it. And Hot Water Music's one of my favorite bands, so I had to spend $30 just to get it.
Jeez.
Yeah, I'm a sucker though.
I don't mind that you're a sucker. I'm not even mad. Let me ask you this. Which Ninja Turtle is your favorite Ninja Turtle?
When I was growing up, my favorite was Raphael.
And why? Because he was a badass.
Because he was kind of a dick.
Yeah.
I thought his weapon was the coolest. He had the size. They were short and you could stab people. They weren't like clunky. They're easier to sneak up.
Which one was the funny one with the orange? Was
that
Michelangelo? He was my favorite just because he was funny. He was like this. He was like the swoony one, you know what I mean?
He was my sister's favorite, so it couldn't be my favorite.
I think it's the girl thing.
Yeah.
I think it's the girl.
I kind of like Donatello, who was a smart one, but he wore purple and he was kind of a
fruity
pansy. Yeah, so.
Wait, what was the fourth one? The blue one?
He was Leonardo. He was the leader.
Oh, yeah.
He was a boring one.
Yeah,
he has swords. He had two swords, which I guess is cool, but.
Yeah, Raphael kind of was like the bad, like the rebel of everybody, huh?
Mm-hmm.
He'd be like, fuck you guys, I'm gonna go eat pizza over here. And you'd just be like, yeah, that guy's bad.
Yeah, they have one in the cartoon all the time.
Okay, next question. This one holds a lot of importance. Who's your favorite Wu-Tang member?
My favorite is probably ODB, just because he's fucking crazy. I don't know. I just think...
All about the crackhead rappers?
Yeah, like, he's... I like everything in life, I think, should be at least a little bit funny. And Wu-Tang Clan, as you know, ain't nothing to fuck with. But ODB is so ridiculous, you can't help but just be into him. Because, like, he goes kind of against all the Wu-Tang stuff, but he's still...
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a terrible impression. I'll stop now. Awesome, awesome. Okay, so how long do you think you're going to be with Slug? Are you going to be with Slug forever? Because we want you to stay forever. I'm just saying.
I won't be forever. I mean, I think there comes a time when you get too old to really be connected to the underground. I don't want to outwear my welcome. I don't know. There's a lot of other stuff I would like to do with life. I don't know what that stuff is yet, but I'll be here for a while for sure.
What goals do you have? What, like, other stuff? I want to know what other stuff there is. Okay. You tell me what other stuff you kind of have your eye on. Like, for me, I'm, like, big into traveling and shit, right?
Yeah.
So give me some examples.
I would like... I don't know. I'd like to move somewhere else just for a while, just to do it.
Yeah.
I love Denver. I would like to live there because it's like Salt Lake, but bigger.
Less Mormon.
That's true. Less Mormons, more black people. Not really a selling point, just something I've noticed while I was there.
True.
What else would I like to do? I would like... There's this cool college in Vermont called the Center for Cartoon Studies, and I'd like to go take a workshop there.
That would be awesome!
That would be way cool. That's like my goal for next year. I would like to save up enough money to go and do that.
You know you can take cartooning courses at the community college too.
Can you?
Yeah.
I haven't really looked into that. I should do that.
Awesome. Okay, so cartoonist extraordinaire, connoisseur, vinyl, all that good stuff. This is Ricky Vigil, and I'm Bethany Fisher. Yay. Signing off, motherfuckers!
Lip, sip, nose, rose.
Check out more work from Mr. Vigil by searching his name at slugmag.com. Thanks for listening to another episode of Sound Waves from the Underground. For more information about the music, interviews, and guests from this episode, visit slugmag.com. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or even an angry thought or two about the show, send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. Our show's theme and music was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Our main logo and art design is by T. Doan, technical design by Kate O'Connor, audio mastering by Andrew Glassett, and special thanks to Adam Sherlock and Eric Tomorrow for their help and support. This is JP signing off. Keep it classy, you motherfuckers.